This took me about 5 years to learn how to operate the one up at Mount Airy. So, talking about David too, you know, David and Goliath, children of Israel looked at Goliath and they said, Lord, what are we going to do? He's so big, we can't possibly defeat him. And David looked at him and said, Lord, he's so big, I can't possibly miss him. That's the difference in attitude, you know. When you and I, you know, when you and I got saved, we didn't board a cruise ship, we boarded a battleship. And a lot of Christians fail to see that, but nevertheless, that's the truth. But, oh, it's so good to be here. We've been back and forth, back and forth. We were at White Plains for about a week, and we came down here to the fellowship Friday night, and then back Friday night. Got in about 1:15 back up there for a wedding. Then we come back here today, and then I'm going back up there tomorrow for Bible college. So we should know the way, shouldn't we? That's right. That's it. That's the first time I had been at 220 going up through there. That's, man, that's a piece of cake. We usually come down 52 and say, you know, that's way out of the way, Brother David Tucker said. Anyway, he said, tell everybody down here hello. They would have been here at the fellowship Friday, but he had a wedding rehearsal. And I think he would have rather been down here. All right, it's good to see all of you this morning. If I didn't shake your hand this morning, please forgive me. I didn't mean to slight you, but it's good to see these smiling faces. Amen. We've had a good year. I hope you've been reading the prayer letters we send. We ended up with a good year and had a few confrontations this past year, which I might tell you about some other time, but that's the way it is when you stand for the Word. You're not going to be popular, but you will be right. Psalm 119 verse 128 said, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right.
Yes, sir.
So I hate every false way. Now, God, whatever God says, you know, God is right about anything. Whatever God says is right. You can be assured of that. So I've got the Word of God with me this morning. We learned a little bit of something about our Bible today and phenomena in the Scripture. This book's a spiritual book. It's a numerical book. It's a grammatical book. It's a doctrinal book.
Yes, sir.
You just can't miss.
That's right.
If you got the right book. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we turn into several places today. 1 Corinthians 6, Titus 3. Like Brother Melvin Siston says, with your other hand, turn 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll start off this morning. Simple message, nothing profound about this message, just simple message, but the gospel's simple. Man makes it hard.
Right.
I think I preached here not long ago on the power of the gospel is the resurrection from the dead. And without the resurrection, there is no gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
But not only that, without the crucifixion, there is no gospel.
Right.
And so Christ just didn't die for our sins. He shed his blood.
Yeah. Amen.
If they'd have hung him by his neck until he was dead, he couldn't have been our Savior.
That's right.
You say, why? Because without the shedding of blood is no remission.
Amen.
So we're bloody religion, guilty, and that's what I'm going to be preaching about this morning. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Simple message. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such was some of you, but ye are washed.
Amen.
Now, in spite of what the Carmelites teach, that's not water.
That's
not water.
Amen.
Only thing water can do is make you clean on the outside if you got a bar of soap with it. Amen.
Yeah.
When they go down to those baptisms, they don't carry any soap. People get all bent out of shape because the Bible uses the word baptize, you know. they say it should be immerse. Well, then we'd be Hopewell Immersionist Church, right?
Yeah.
But baptism is more than immersion.
Yes.
If it was just immersion, you'd drown them.
That's right.
It's getting them up again.
Amen.
That's why the two ordinances you and I have as Baptist believers here today and here this morning is the Lord's Supper and baptism by immersion.
Yes, sir.
Because both of those picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without that, there is no gospel and there is no salvation.
Yes.
But notice the Bible says this. He says, all things are lawful unto me. But all things, well, I forget, I didn't finish verse 11. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice the word sanctified. Got the word sanctified is used before the word justified, proving that sanctification is not a second working of grace. He's got it here before justification. Why? Because ye are set apart, and that's what sanctification means. You are set apart to be justified by the blood of the Lamb. Right. Notice he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. As far as the law is concerned, when you and I get saved by the grace of God, it doesn't affect our salvation, what we do, but it does affect expediency. What is expedient? That which serves to promote or advance. What you and I do may not affect our salvation, but it sure can affect somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Be very careful of the life you lead. You may be the only Bible some folks ever read. I could sit on a park bench with an empty bottle of Jack Daniels and pour iced tea in it and sit there and drink it, and it wouldn't affect my salvation. But what about the people walking by?
Amen. Amen.
There's that Baptist evangelist. I knew he was a drunkard. And I'm drinking iced tea, but I'm drinking it out of a Jack Daniels bottle. So I'm going to abstain from all appearance of evil. It just appears evil, though it's not. It appears that way. Stay away from it. Of course, the modern translations, and I have to hit on that every once in a while, they foul that up. They abstain from every time evil appears. No. The very appearance of evil. Anything that looks evil, stay away from it. Right. That's why your King James Bible is the Word of God and the rest of them's trash. That's putting it right straight over the plate, isn't it? All right. Notice he says here, meats for the belly. Oh, he said, I will not be brought under the power of any. Anything that you and I do as a child of God, we should not be brought under the power of anything except Jesus Christ. Anything that controls us, I'm overweight and I realize that. I've had thyroid problems. They mess with my thyroid, but I've had chicken filet problems too and pizza problems, But at least eating is a natural thing. You and I have not let anything control us, whether it's our mind, whether it's our habits, anything. Not to be brought under that power except for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now that's good. The Bible said meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? And we're in the church today, right? We're in this building. This is where the church meets, but technically this is not the church.
Right.
Technically the church is you and I sitting here with the Spirit of God in us.
Amen.
And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His.
Amen.
Romans 8 verse 9. I didn't say that. God did. God hath both raised up the Lord and also raised up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, should be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Run from it. You can't handle it, young people. You run from it.
Right.
You say, make me a coward. Good.
Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
When it comes to that, good.
Yeah.
Now you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Yeah. But you can't handle fornication. You better stay away from it. Amen. Speaking as a saved person, knowing what the Bible says, but I'm also speaking by experience. And I'm not proud of that at all. Now notice, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price.
Yep.
Notice the verse didn't say you were rented.
That's right.
It says you're bought.
Yeah. Amen.
Now folks, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, male or female, boy or girl, He owns you.
Yeah. Yeah.
He owns me. I can't do with myself what I want to do. I've got to do what He says to do. And if I do what I want to do, I'll suffer for it. He'll chasten me like my dad did. And you didn't want a whipping from Gravy Canuck, right? And I don't particularly want one from the Lord either, that's for sure. He hits harder than my daddy did sometimes. Sometimes He chastens just spiritually, inside, where people can't see it, but sometimes it's outwardly. Right? The Bible said you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Look over to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter 3. Now there's any number of messages we could preach out of that 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'm sure Brother Mike's preached out of it. I have before. But we're going a different direction this morning in that we're in Titus 3. Titus 3 verse 4. Titus 3 verse 4 says, but after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior. How about that? Jesus is our Savior and God's our Savior.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Russell Ice can't understand that, but neither can I.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Yeah. Amen.
Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
Yes,
God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. 1 Timothy 3:16, and all the modern versions change that too. And take God out, put He who.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was manifest in flesh, but I'm not God.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, Satan was manifest in flesh, Judas Iscariot, but he's not God.
That's right.
God was manifest in flesh.
Yeah.
That in 1 John 5:7, the two greatest verses in the Bible on the deity of Christ, and you might know they were the two most controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Yep.
1 John 5:7. Translators of modern versions started with the RV of 1881, messed with all of them. All of them. All right, so he says here, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I used to have a preacher I know, he's gone now, but he used to say it's a Baptist preacher or it's any preacher's job not only to get the fish in the boat, but to keep them from jumping out of the boat. In other words, he said it's my job to make sure people get saved and then make sure they stay saved. No, that's not my category. That's not my job. My job is to preach the gospel and if people get saved, God does the keeping. Folks, you can't keep yourself any more than you can save yourself. And if your salvation testimony includes something you think you did to get saved, you're still not right with God. I say that according to the Scriptures. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That washing there is not water. Right? That's blood. The blood. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb here this morning? Notice He says, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm an heir this morning with Him and a joint heir just like you. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. As a matter of fact, you're closer to me than a lot of my own family. Because they aren't in. You are.
Amen.
Blood's a lot thicker than water.
Amen.
Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. Very familiar for two verses of Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, you all could quote it, but we'll turn there so you can see it. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ was there on the Bethabaron. John the Baptist sees him coming. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. He takes away the sin of the world. Number one, I want you to notice. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom now as we look to your word. If there's anybody in this building never been saved by the grace of God, I pray, God, that you would deal with that heart this morning. Be it man, woman, boy, or girl, help them to realize if they've never been washed in the blood of Christ that they're not saved here this morning. Very simple message you've given me, Father. I pray you take it and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, number one, that Christ's blood does not just cover sin. It cleanses sin completely. I don't care what you've done here this morning. If you committed fornication 1,000 times, adultery, if you've been married 15 times, I don't care what you've done or where you've been, the blood of Jesus Christ don't wipe the slate clean. It throws the slate away.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I've got scars on my body physically that I got when I was a lost young man. I didn't get saved till I was 18. Stupid stuff while being intoxicated. Tried to burn a hole through my wrist through a $150 bill with a cigarette one night. And the fellow that was my friend always had money. He said, "If you can burn a hole through that 50, you can have it." And I sat there 3 times and I still got the scars right there where I tried to burn a hole through that 50 to get that, burn it down 1/4 inch deep into my wrist. Trying to get a $50 bill. You can't do it. Got no air underneath it. You won't burn. I told my mama I burnt my arm on my muffler on the car. She bought it. But after I got saved, I told her the truth. That's kind of stupid stuff you'll do. The eyes of a whole strange woman. Oh boy, if that's not the truth. That's right. I thank God the Lord delivered me from that mess.
Amen.
Christ's blood does not cover sin. It cleanses sin completely. Look in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. While I'm preaching this morning, ask yourself this question. Does the Spirit of God live inside of me? If He doesn't, you're not saved. When you get saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God baptizes you into His body, the body of Christ, and you become a new creature. You may not always do right, you may not always live right, but there'll always be that Lord in there telling you that's not right, that's not, and He'll tell you through the Word. I don't need the signs and wonders to tell me when I'm wrong. I have a Bible to tell me when I'm wrong. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." They only covered sin. Some sacrifices for a year for the whole people, some individual sins. Notice, "Wherefore, when He cometh in the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared Me."
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You say, why a body? Because God is a spirit.
Amen.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So Christ came in a body so He would know what it was like to have a body like you and I've got.
Amen.
To bleed, to sweat, to suffer, to be hungry, to be sleepy. God don't know those things. He's a spirit.
Yes, sir.
So he came down in flesh that he could know them. And he conquered it all.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you can't.
Yeah,
I can't. I can't. I can't live for God now except through the grace of God. You say, why? Because I got a fleshly nature that hates God and hates the Lord and hates this Bible and hates you people.
Yes, sir. You're right, brother.
Amen. If you were around me all the time, you wouldn't agree with me. You say, I'm around you a little while, I don't agree with you then. Well, you know, that's your prerogative. But, I mean, there you go. We're all like that. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it's written to me. It sure is. From Genesis to Revelation. Everything you read in the Old Testament is a foreshadow and a picture of the antitype Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. See, this Bible was written to more people than just you and I sitting here this morning. We tend to look at things from a North Carolina Baptist American point of view, and the Bible's not written that way. That's right. He says above when he said sacrifice and offerings, verse 8, and burnt offerings and offered for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, he may establish the second. Look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Yeah, amen.
What are you going to do with that one, John Calvin?
Yeah.
Well, you can blame Aurelius Augustine because that's where John Calvin got it from. Augustine lived 450 A.D. and he was a Roman Catholic. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. A bunch of dumb Baptists call themselves Calvinists. They're biting off a piece of the pie they can't chew. I'm telling you that right now. That's the most fatalistic doctrine in this world. You say, Brother Mitch, no. You parents here, you have these little old babies. You know what Calvinists taught? That if that baby dies and it wasn't elected, it burns in hell forever? And you want to believe that? I wouldn't believe that lie if I told it myself. Now look what he said here. He said, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. I don't care what works you and I do. I don't care what you're trying to do to make it in. It's not going to work.
Amen.
The old song, Just As I Am, it's pertinent. It's true. Just as I am. Timothy's daddy back there, Ray, when he got saved up on the job, right before he got saved, he got his hair cut and he quit smoking. Now, Ray was the kind of guy you had to be careful with. At that time, he weighed about 300 plus pounds and you didn't poke your finger in his chest, he'd break your finger. That's just the way he was. Now, Timothy's a gentle as little lamb, but Ray, I wouldn't mess with him. The guy was strong as an ox. But I come by his seat one day. He was sitting there, and I was coming by from the soap room back there. And I said, can I tell you something? He said, yeah. I said, I know what you're trying to do. He said, what? I said, you're trying to clean yourself up so God will take you, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, he turned red. Mm-hmm. I kind of backed off just a little bit. And I said, Ray, can I tell you something? Because I care about you, and I've been praying for you. He said, yeah. I said, it won't work. You got to come just like you are. You try to fix things here this morning and get everything lined up the way you want them, and then I'll come, Lord. You may not make it. You may not make it. Some kids I went to high school with never made it out of high school. Never made it out of high school. That's a sad thing, but it happens. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Why? The tabernacle had no place to sit down because that priest had to continually offer. But when Jesus Christ offered that one sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because it is finished. Everything that's necessary for salvation has been done. Hey folks, it's like preaching to the choir. I'm not telling you folks something you don't know, but maybe there's somebody here that they don't realize that. Well, I'm too bad God never saved me. Paul killed Christians and God forgave him. Have you gone that road yet? Well, then God can forgive you. Exactly right. I don't care how bad it is. But this man, when he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. I don't have to eat Jesus Christ on Sunday morning with a little wafer and put him, take him down and digest him for 30 minutes to have Christ in me. He's already in me.
Yeah.
Besides, if I had that wafer, I'd want a little peanut butter to go with that thing. You say, Brother Mitch, that's not right. They believe that wafer is God. Do you understand? When that priest says, my Lord and my God, that thing turns into Jesus Christ's flesh? That's cannibalism. You say, well, they get that of John 6. I know exactly where they get it, but they miss verse 63. The things that I write unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's a spiritual thing, not a fleshly thing. How about that? Boy, this Bible, isn't it something?
Yeah.
Look at Romans chapter 4. Now, I know what people will say because sometimes they don't realize where Romans chapter 4 comes from and what it's quoting. But it's quoting Psalm 132 verse 1 and 2 in an Old Testament case where their sins were covered. That's why the Old Testament saints didn't go to the presence of the Father. They went to Abraham's bosom when they died. Romans chapter number 4 verse 5, the Bible says, but to him that believeth, worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's exactly what he said. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Imputation has to do with not charging to your account. Right? It went to Jesus Christ's account. When God sees you and I, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved. But folks, if you don't have that blood, it's like the Old Testament, the Passover. There's no covering. There's no blood. You're accountable. I don't care how old you are. If you're able to know that you're a sinner, you're accountable.
Yes, sir.
12 years old stuff comes from Catholicism. You'd be amazed how much stuff's in and this so infiltrated our Baptist churches that come from Catholicism. Because they say, give me a Catholic child till he's 12 and he'll be a Catholic forever. Well, that's a lie too. That's a lie too. I got a lot of Catholic friends that got saved. But folks, that quote is from an Old Testament sense in which your sins were covered in the Old Testament. That's why they had to offer sacrifices every year. We just read that in Hebrews. But this man. When he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know where he's at tonight or this morning? That's where he's at. And he's making intercession. He's making intercession. I don't need a mediatrix. I've got a mediator. For there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? I got somebody pleading my case this morning. I sure am glad of that. Number two, Christ's cleansing blood fits you for the baptism of water. You're not fit for the water till you go through the blood.
That's right.
I don't care if you're baptized, the tadpoles know your social security number. Amen. You're not fit for the water till you go through the blood. Look at John chapter 19. The Lord kind of gives indication of what he's going to do and what he has done. But in John chapter number 19, the Bible said, verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers to break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. Why? Because the Bible said there would not a bone in him be broken. That's fulfillment of prophecy. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water.
That's it.
You're not fit for the water till you get through the blood.
Right.
Amen. That's it. I mean, the water can clean the flesh, but the blood cleans the body, soul, and spirit. You say, what do you mean body? Because when your soul and spirit gets cleansed, it'll make a difference on the outside.
Amen.
That's why the Lord told us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I would that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it starts in the spirit, comes to the soul, and comes outward to the body. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't mean work it out to get saved. It means that now that salvation's inside, work it out where people can see it. See, you can't, I can tell you I'm saved. You can tell me you're saved, but until we work that out on the outward, people can't see it. Talk's cheap, right? Actions are another thing. But there we are. I mean, folks, look, he says, therefore, contain blood and water. Look in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Of course, this passage is fouled up in all the modern versions. What don't take it out puts it down in the footnotes. God didn't tell me to read the footnote. God didn't tell me to preach the footnote. He said, preach the word. Right? And footnotes are the footnotes of men. Your King James Bible, your original edition of 1611, one of the 15 rules that Richard Bancroft, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was submitted by King James, said there would be no footnotes in the margins. Only scripture references. And that's what they did. You say why? Because the Geneva Bible of 1560, the Calvinist production had 14 pro-Calvinistic footnotes, and that's why you're trying to see a revival today of the Geneva Bibles, not because of the text, and it's a good text. But comparing the Geneva text with the King James text is like comparing a BMW with a Rolls Royce. No comparison. No comparison. It's those 14 pro-Calvinistic footnotes that the Calvinists are bringing that thing back into. God used the Geneva Bible. It's gone. God put this thing on the throne in 1644 in this country. It's been there ever since. And they're not going to get it off the throne.
No.
God's going to complete what He started. But in Acts chapter 8, notice this. Acts chapter 8, the Bible said, verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water. So scripturally, the preacher is supposed to be in the water with the candidate for baptism, according to the Bible. And there's enough water where they can go under it.
Yeah.
If it was like the modern way of baptizing, you could have a Dixie cup and pour it on top of their head. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, see it? The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's why they mess with that verse 37. NIV leaves it out completely. Most of the other versions, if they don't leave it out, they put it in the footnote that it's not in the best authorities. It's not in the most ancient manuscript, which is a bold-faced lie as well. Amen. That's it. That's it. But small wonder the devil wants that verse kicked out. Because you've got to believe. You say, well, this believing Jesus, Son of God, is not enough to get saved. You didn't read all the passage. I didn't read all the passage. Excuse me. Look back up here at verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, by the way, and preached unto him Jesus. This is after the resurrection. So he had to preach the death, burial, resurrection. You see what I'm talking about? People think they're smarter than God. God's little helpers. Ever learning. But never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
You say, Brother Mitch, you're just being critical. Sometimes I'm a critical kind of guy.
Yeah.
When somebody starts messing with this book, you're going to raise my ire. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Acts 9. Look over there. Acts chapter 9. Christ's cleansing blood fits you for the baptism of water. And I'm looking at the clock. I see what time it is. I don't eat breakfast, so I guarantee I'm hungrier than you are. My stomach thinks my throat's been cut, you know. Acts 9. Look at Acts chapter 9 and look at this. You know what happens? We're not going to read the whole chapter here, but verse 15 goes to Ananias. Ananias said, "Lord, this man here, I've read many things of this guy." He said, "Go thy way, Ananias. You do what I told you to do." Yeah, but the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And that's the way it wound up. Paul's made it start that way. They went to the Jew first, but it wound up that way right there. Now notice, "Well, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, wouldn't you like for the Lord to have shown you that the day you got saved? I just want to tell you, before you get saved, you're going to suffer the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you kind of want to back out? But notice, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul."
Yeah, brother.
The Lord done told him he got saved. Yeah. "Brother Saul." And the Lord, "Even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest be receive thy sight, be filled with the Holy Ghost." When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're full of the Word of God. Every instance in the Bible where somebody's full of the Holy Ghost, they preach or spout off or quote the Word of God. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost without being full of the Word of God. It's impossible. Biblically, scripturally, impossible. And some of these people that say they're full of the Holy Ghost, they don't know enough Bible to put in the right eye of a blind mosquito. You know that? Now notice. "And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized."
Amen.
He was called Brother Saul before he was Amen. Baptized.
Yes, sir.
What did the Church of Christ do with that?
Mm-hmm.
They ignore it.
Yeah, right.
They ignore it. Brother Saul, before he was baptized. I think I am going to finish this message tonight. I got two more points, and I don't want to rush through them. But this is very important. What did we learn this morning? We learned the only justification for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's exactly the reason why when Christ rose from the dead, he told Mary, he said, "Touch me not. For I have not yet ascended unto my Father. But go unto my brethren, saying to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and your God and my God." 2 hours later, the disciples came and grabbed him by the feet. What's the difference? He told Mary, "Don't touch me yet. Don't touch me." 2 hours later, the disciples came and grabbed him. He had done been to the presence of the Father and took the blood for you and for me. You say, "Christ died for me." Well, if he died for unsaved false prophets, I guess he did. He died for every man, woman, boy, or girl. Everyone. And don't believe this garbage you see and hear on TV and on the radio today about Christ dying just for a chosen few. Let me tell you something. Listen. If Jesus Christ only shed enough blood for a certain few, then he is guilty of the damnation of every man or woman, boy or girl he didn't die for. You going to lay that on Jesus Christ? Charles Wesley said, "Oh, horrible decree." Talking about the decree of reprobation, that some people are born reprobate. In other words, if you don't understand what I'm talking about completely, Augustine and Calvin taught that some are born after the seed of Cain and some are born after the seed of Abel. And if you're born after the seed of Cain, you can't be saved no matter what. That's a damnable heresy according to the Bible. Amen? So if Jesus Christ didn't die for the sins of all men, and the Bible says he did, then he's guilty of the blood and of the damnation of every one of those individuals he didn't die for. As I said, Wesley wrote horrible decree, talking about the reprobation, "Worthy of the place from whence it came, forgive their hellish blasphemy that chargeth to the Lamb." I think that's quite appropriate.
Yeah, amen.
The Lord willing, don't stay home tonight. We'll finish this tonight, okay? I don't want to cut you short this morning, but I want you to meditate on what we've talked about. You can't make it in on your own. You say, "Well, I got plenty of time." You know, the Bible tells you and I to beware of the wiles of the devil. You wonder what the greatest wile of the devil? Wait a while. Wait a while. You got plenty of time. Wait a while. Wait a while. You may not.
Amen.
You may not. And folks, in spite of what the Left Behind series and all this stuff believes, the rapture church takes place and you think you're going to make it in, not if you've heard the gospel and had an opportunity to be saved. Won't be salvation for you in the tribulation, but nothing but deception and damnation. And that don't give me any pleasure at all to say it. I'm telling you what the book says. You didn't call me down here to lie to you, right?
Amen.
So I'm not going to. I got to answer for what I preach, and so does that man right there. And every one of you men that preach, you're going to answer everything you preach. And I'm going to answer everything I preach. And I'm not going to have your blood on my hands.
Yeah,
I love you. You say, you don't even know me. I still love you. Before I was saved, I couldn't have cared less. Number one was all that mattered to me. When I got saved, things changed. God gave me a burden for my dad and let me lead him to Christ. He lived for God till he died. My brother got saved. I led other people. I mean, folks, listen, God will give you a burden for people. You realize when you get saved that J-O-Y, joy, is Jesus others than you last.
Yeah,
and this world simply is not going to tolerate that. Amen, Brother Mike.
Here's about out of the boat. You come to see us.